We'll get just the announcements taken care of real quick. Welcome again. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. And worship team, thank you so much for that experience. And thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to worship so freely this morning and connect with you. Today, just a reminder, we do have a fellowship meal right after church. Thank you, Zach Bender. We have spaghetti on tap, garlic bread and salad. A nursery, again, is available for young children over here if you need it. Preschool through fifth grade, again, we just released those kiddos. So if you need to have your kids go there, please feel free. Don't forget about Wednesdays. We have lots of things going on here at 10 Strike Community Church on Wednesdays. First of all, we have Touch Point with Pastor Steve and Joyce. Title this week is The Importance of Being Spiritually Minded, Being Led by the Spirit, Part 8. My goodness, that's a wonderful, wonderful topic. Also, 6 o'clock, we have Amplify TCC Youth, so our youth group is going. What an amazing ministry that's going on there. I had a chance to sit in on that this week. Kids, thank you so much for worshiping. It is so cool to listen to you sing. And contributing, Carson provided a message this week. It was wonderful, so thank you, Carson, looking at the book of James. So appreciate that. And kids' activities as well at 6 p.m. for those kids younger than junior high school age. Upcoming event, again, don't forget about the Aglow meeting on Saturday, April 13th, 9:30 a.m. at Mount Zion Church in Bemidji. Tim and Kathy Pomp will be leading worship and speaking at this spring gathering for the Northwest Minnesota Aglow area. Lunch will be provided for everybody, and everyone is welcome. For every other thing that you want to know about us, check online, check our Facebook page, and everything should be archived, and you should be able to see us there, and YouTube as well. It's very nice to be able to go back and see our services on YouTube. Pastor Steve?
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Dear church family, I got an update for you. We have formed a pastoral selection team or group or committee or whatever we would want to call it. And we're going to more formally introduce that next Sunday, but we would have done it today. But Scott Davis, who is the leader of that group, is out of town this weekend. But I do want to introduce one other member, though. It's Doug Cooley, because he'll be out of town next weekend. So Doug will be on that group, that committee. And I especially wanted to mention it today because we're going to be having a meeting on Wednesday evening and a meeting probably next Saturday as well concerning this. And potentially there may be a candidate that we would share with you next Sunday. But that's what we need to pray about. We're in prayer together about that. But the thing is that, and we're going to pray here in a minute, but a theme verse that we've had through this whole time, and I've been sharing this with you since, I did it here in the church service in December. It was actually December 12 of 2021. And so this isn't like a brand new thing. We've been sharing about the transition. And a scripture, though, that has come to the forefront is the one you probably know. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Say that part with me. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, including pastoral selection, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I am very confident of that, like I said a few weeks ago. Very confident of that. God as a person, he won't be me. I mean, he won't probably be like me. I know the pastor we had before, his name was Pastor Mike Maraggi. He was not like me. Not at all like me. There aren't very many here that were here then. Sarah remembers him, I believe. But it's going to be God's person. Well, let's pray together. Joyce, why don't you come up here with me? Josh, why don't you come and stand over here with us? In fact, let's all stand up together. Come right over here, Josh. See, we're doing this as a church family. And once we give you, possibly next Sunday, a potential candidate there, then we're going to give some time for you to give input, questions, and so forth to this committee. There'll be a few weeks there where you can talk to us and just share things and so forth. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you lead us, you guide us, and direct us.
Yeah.
We are confident of that. We are so confident that you will lead us to that next pastor. We know transition times aren't, well, transitions are change. And change is change. It's not easy always. There are things along the way, but you say you would direct our steps, and that means to make smooth and straight, that you will do that, Lord, as we seek your face. We pray for the selection committee. We pray for Scott Davis as our leader. We pray for the meeting on Wednesday night and the potential one again on Saturday, Lord, as we as a church family seek you together for your direction in this such an important area for us as a church. So we look unto you and we give you thanks because we are confident. We have confidence. You're going to see us through to the right person. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for this now. And everyone in agreement said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. You got them right there. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Pastor Steve. Exciting times. This morning I was just talking to Pastor Steve a little bit, and you know, he wanted me to share some scripture, and I also like to share anecdotes and stories, things like that, if I can. I'm not the greatest storyteller. I hear so many wonderful storytellers here. I wanted to first start out with talking about gifts and giving and how God uses not only what we give monetarily, but what we give in terms of our gifts. And I want to just, if you're in education at all, would you raise your hand for me? Yeah, kind of look around the room, would you? Seems like they're more over here, but I want to say thank you to all of you that are in education. Thank you so much. You know, Joshua, he works in our building, and so does Julia Welchek, and we've got a number of others that pop in and visit from time to time here at Ten Strike from Cassock Bina Elementary. And I wanted to read you a couple verses talking about really children and those that can't speak up for themselves, and what we're supposed to do with our works and with our gifts. Acts 20:35, Paul starts out and he says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive." So we give monetarily to help those that cannot help themselves. We also give the spirit of ourselves and whatever gifts that we have available to help those that can't help themselves. In talking about children, Psalm 82, verse 3 through 4. "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." This week, I was struck with a situation where a young one had been experiencing some significant trauma, and I got a chance to talk to the youth group about it a little bit. Seen some things he should not see, and he was really little. That's about as much detail as I can share with you in terms of who he is. But my history with him tells me that he has never had the opportunity, from what I know of, to experience God, to experience Jesus, know who he is, never really watched, been part of church. But we had a meeting with family, and I had a chance to discuss and talk about their trauma with them. The student went off with one of our counselors. Counselor came back about an hour later in tears. And she goes, "Josh, I have to share something with you." And I said, "What's up?" She goes, "This little boy wants to know Jesus." And I said, "Are you kidding me? Like, where did he hear?" "I don't know, but I do know one thing. It's directly from God, not indirectly through people." I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Well, he kept grasping this chain necklace around his neck, and he kept in tears, but an hour going, 'The cross, that's how I get there. That's cross. It's how I get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. Miss Carmen, I want to get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. It's how I get there.'" And she says, "How did you know? How did you know?" "Well, at night, I have nightmares," he said. "At night, I have nightmares. And I have seen some things that other people have shown me that I don't want to see. And I know it's bad." And she goes, "Well, how do you know it's bad? If no one told you it's bad, how do you know it's bad?" He goes, "Well, at night, I dream and my angels, they come and tell me that they're bad. The angels tell me that what I see is bad, what those things are evil. And they tell me that the cross is where I need to go for Jesus. The cross is where I'm going to go for Jesus." And I want to tell you that in this world, and this is where it's an amazing kind of thing, where I'm sharing some things that are kind of like, in public education, you don't hear about that stuff, right? But it was an amazing story. And without the people that we have in place to do God's work and to share their gifts, this little boy wouldn't get what he's needing. However, with no one else involved, he's getting everything he ever needed. And that to me is incredible. That to me is absolutely incredible. And but we have so many amazing stories like that every day that we get a chance to hear about and share. So I want to thank you for your prayers for Cass Lake. I want to thank you for everything that you share and give to this church. Your ministry matters, and we appreciate you and your giving. Let's pray over the offering this morning. If you have anything to share and give monetarily, we have the boxes in the back, and we thank you for that gift this morning as well. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you this morning for this opportunity to share, this opportunity to give, this opportunity to worship you this morning, Father. We just pray over the gifts of offering this morning. We pray over the gifts of the spiritual gifts that everyone has in this room, that they can share them freely and openly and be able to connect with others so that they can find you, God. And we pray and we thank you that even in the absence of explicit, you know, contact with the knowledge of the Bible, you still are made known in the hearts of many. We appreciate you, Father. We love you so much. And we thank you for your unconditional agape love in your wonderful name. Amen. Andrew.
Thank you, Josh. Good stuff. Appreciate you. Okay, I can turn the volume down a little bit there. Welcome. My name is Andrew Erholtz, in case you didn't know. I'm glad to be here. I want to share the word with you and how God has been working in my life. Let's open with another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you have in store for us, Lord. We're so thankful for the family of God as we share together, as we love one another. Lord, may you be glorified and for what we are going to hear and experience in your word together. Lord, I trust that our lives will be changed in your name. Amen. Well, in case you read the email from a few days ago, the title of the sermon was going to be Speak the Truth in Love. If you saw, was that yesterday or this morning, the new title of the message is going to be Fix Your Eyes in Jesus. So if you were wanting to hear about speaking the truth in love, we'll have to do that another day. Okay. How many of you are open to hearing from the Holy Spirit and what He has to share? And if you have something to share, you have something to do. Like Pastor Steve said, we make our plans. We do what we believe God wants us to do, but we need to be open to Him directing our steps. And sometimes we learn as we walk that, oh, maybe I need to go this way. And so that's what I did near the end of the week this week. life keeps moving on, and we just got to be in touch, and we got to be willing to change and willing to turn and willing to let God guide us and direct us. We mature as Christians, which requires more of us, and things are happening in this world that we have to respond to. And so change, transition is a part of life, and how we handle that is so, so important. But we got to keep moving. We can't stand still. God has more for you, and He has more in store for me. Now, I used to focus on the negative things in my life, and if you know the past few times I shared about those things and God's victory in my life. Bad things happened to me, as they have for a lot of you, and I made some bad choices. Those things should not hold me back in my Christian life. It's okay to see what I used to be, but I think of those in terms of what God has done. God rescued me. I can rejoice in the things that He has taught me through my past. I can be thankful that God took my ashes and made something beautiful. I need to focus now, today, on the beauty that God made, not ashes. Okay? The ashes were a part of my past. I admit that. But God took those things and made them beautiful. I would rather focus on those things. One of the reasons I made a change in what I was going to share today is because my beautiful, wonderful wife, who knows me so well, said, "Andrew, I think God has something for me to share." I could have said, well, I probably did say, "I already have something I was going to share." Okay? But I believe that for today, God wants me to share this. And it's about fixing our eyes on Jesus. And as my wife was reading a devotional, Rick Renner, Sparkling Gems, there was a devotional in there that really hit her. She shared it with me, and I'm like, oh, okay, that is good. We've been talking about my past, and it can be bad things in my past, but did you know that stopping at past victories in life is what keeps most people from moving into future victories? Everybody raise your hand when I ask this question. How many of you have appreciated having Pastor Steve with us here for 40 plus years? It's been amazing, okay? If we believe there's transition in place, that means we can't let all the wonderful, amazing things that have been beautiful in these past 40 plus years are the way that things are supposed to stay. That could hold us back. We could look for somebody just like you, even though you're an individual created by God, and God has used you wonderfully in these past decades, or we could be open to maybe something different, some transition, some change. And I'm open to that. And you're open to that. And I appreciate that so much. And we as a church family are open to what the next phase of 10 Story Community Church is. We're not going to be stuck in the past. I could have a whole message on just the positive side of things that get us stuck. I'm not going to go into that today. With God's help, I have accomplished great things in my life in the past number of years, but those successes don't define me any more than my failures define me. And I prepared to talk about my failures today, and those don't define me. But again, don't get stuck in the positive things either. So I have a helper prepared. Are you there, Tanner? Thank you for leading us in worship today from the bass guitar, by the way. Let's give him a hand for doing such a great job. God has gifted you, my brother. So I talked to Tanner about walking across the stage here. We're going to have this side of the stage represent Tanner's future, his calling in Christ. Because of what Christ has done, that can affect Tanner's future. And he's walking into his future every day. He is in his present, walking toward the future. The problem is, I asked Tanner to do something he doesn't normally do, I'm sure, is be stuck on the past. So I'm going to let him walk across the stage here. We practiced this already this morning. But notice, he's not looking to the future. He keeps looking at the past, past victories or past failures. Okay, he's going this way, right? He's still looking at the past. He's stuck.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
That's good. Give him a hand. Thank you, sir. Good job. He made it. He made it. Okay. He made it a little more difficult than he could have. Okay. Jesus calls us to live life for him. Jesus has good promises for us. God's promises are in the Word, and they are for you. But sometimes we don't experience the goodness of God because we haven't fixed our eyes on Jesus. He calls us. He has a plan for us. Now, do I identify with your past? And again, today I'm going to focus on the negative things in my life. I would have said years ago that I was a loser. I have lost at things. And saying that again, I remember I said this last time. So it's not a surprise. I have felt that I was a failure because things in my life had failed and I had lost at things and made mistakes. And I was letting those things, as a Christian, I was letting those things define me. I was letting those things hold me back from God's promises. And there were obstacles in Tanner's path. There are challenges in life, as we talked about, transitions, things that are happening as we mature. Sometimes, would you agree with me that maturing isn't always easy? You have to put your childish ways behind you, comfort sometimes behind us. So do you identify with your past? Are you fixated on your past? That's going to make things more difficult. Don't fix your eyes on the past. You might say, I know God wants more for me, but I've made so many mistakes. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. How could God have good things in plan for me? So, I have a question for you. Audience participation. This comes from my teaching children from so many years. If, A, you need to keep moving, you can't stop, and B, not one and two, sorry, A, B, B, you shouldn't be looking at the past all the time, okay, then what? Let me ask this question again. If you need to keep moving, and you shouldn't be looking at the past all the time, then what do you need to do? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look ahead. Look forward. Look to what Jesus has. Okay? Watch where you're going. I just bumped into my wife this morning because I didn't watch where I was going. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Here's the first scripture I want to read with you. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. How many of you like prizes? How many of you like to think about heaven? How many of you like to think about good things that God has in store for you. A lot of the promises in the Word apply to us here today while we're still on earth. I'm looking forward to heaven, but God has a plan for me here. Do we have a right to think about these things, these heavenly rewards here on earth? Who do we think we are to be expecting God to do good things here on earth? Well, without God, David called himself a worm. Okay? I'm worthless without Christ. Christ has changed everything. But I'm not without, I'm not without God. I am with God. He is with me. I will focus my eyes on Jesus. I got a couple of oldies but goodies songs here. Sing it with me if you know it. God is for me, therefore I am not afraid. God is with me to defeat each enemy I face. God is in me. His light shines upon my face. God is for me, with me, in me every day. I didn't hear that song until I got here to 10th Street. And I had a mind change. I grew up as a Christian. I grew up in the church. But I didn't realize that God had an amazing plan for my life. And part of that was realizing that He was in me. He is with me. He is for me. I don't have to worry about the challenges in life because through His victory, I am a victor. I'm not a loser. I'm not a failure. Wow. That was, it didn't hit me in church. Now I didn't get to 10th Street. I can tell I was 18 years old, but I needed that in 1990. Thank God for teaching that and preaching that. God loves me unconditionally, and He has a plan for my life. Jesus paid for my redemption. I like to take words and break them down. Redemption is buying back. The beauty for ashes thing, all I had to give Him was ashes, failure, mistakes. And as I continue to give my mistakes to Him, He takes those things and makes beautiful things out of those. He buys them back. When Jesus redeemed us on the cross, we were sinners. He bought us back with His sacrifice and His life and His victory over the grave that we talked about last week. Now, my mom used to tell me as a kid that to insult myself is to insult what God has made. To say I'm not good enough is to say what God created isn't good enough. Who am I to tell God that I am not worthy of His love or I'm not good enough because of Him and through Him? Do you identify with the Word? Let me share some good news with you. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, think about Him as you hear these next verses. It's key for my life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that could make the devil happier than to keep me down, keep me stuck in my past. Condemnation, you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough. I was struggling with those things. Romans chapter 8, 1 told me exactly the opposite. How much condemnation should I have if I'm in Christ Jesus? None. No, but really? But really? My list of things I've done wrong is long, but there's no condemnation for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is New King James Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. That That's me? I'm a new creation in Christ because of what he has done. Absolutely. And then down to verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wait a minute. What? Righteousness? I have been made righteous? That's a mind blower. It was a mind blower for me. Maybe you grew up with this teaching. I didn't. Wow. God doesn't see me as an angry person, a selfish person, even though sometimes I feel angry and selfish. I've sometimes learned to separate the truth of God's word from the facts or the things that I see in daily life. If I do something wrong or I have some selfish thoughts, they happened. But the truth is, that's not how God sees me. He sees me as redeemed. He sees me through the blood of Jesus, who paid for the sins that I commit and that I will commit in the future. When God looks at me, When God looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Lost the melody on that one. Somebody else want it? What's that? Over by the precious blood of Jesus lives in me, lives in me. Okay, sorry.
I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me, lives in me. Oh, how sweet it is to know my heavenly Father loves me, so he gives to me my Jesus. And when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus.
Amen. There it is. Okay. So when we get a new pastor, we still have to sing those songs. Okay. Those are important. I'm just saying. Okay. Life-transforming stuff. We would sing that stuff in church, and we'd sing it in, you know, family gatherings and that sort of stuff too. So that stuff's got to stay. And, you know, week in, week out, coming to church here on Sundays, that was my commitment at 18 years old. I kept coming back, kept hearing stuff that I did not understand with my mind. But as I started to, you know, as that stuff worked its way into me, it changed my life. Changed my life, and it'll change yours as well. And if it already has, hallelujah. Amen. How many of you see that Super 8 sign on the marquee when you're driving west? Oh, love that stuff. The newest one is You Are Enough. Now, from a Christian perspective, because of Jesus Christ, I am enough. When I fix my eyes on Jesus, I don't have to keep wondering about what else do I have to do to make people love me, to make God love me, to make me love myself. I am enough. God created me. He paid for me. He has a plan for me, and I don't need anything else other than Jesus. I'm going to fix my eyes on him and let him bring me to victory. And I won't be stumbling over things that are in the way. Things will come, and we can turn our stumbling blocks into stepping stones. Okay? We're going to have stuff in front of us. Are we going to trip over it? Or are we going to step up on those things and work our way up to the next level with his help? Amen. All right. I have four simple steps here that I have followed, and I recommend these things. Step one, change what you believe. If you believe you're not worth it, you are a mistake, a loser, a failure, whatever, change your belief. My belief comes from the Word of God. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. There are so many scriptures that talk about your identity in Christ, who you are in Him. If you can't find them, you know, keep digging in, ask people who know. The internet has, you know, lots of lists of identity in Christ. Oh, so much good stuff. Saturate your mind with the Word. Memorize it. Those scriptures that stick out to you that are like, oh, wow, that is good. That hits me right there. You don't have to memorize everything to start out with, okay? Grab those nuggets of the Word, you know, that God is speaking to you through. We need the Word of God to change our belief. Get it from your head into your heart. I have that. That's where things for me get a little tough, because I want to understand. If it doesn't make sense to me, sometimes it gets stuck there. And I need people who help me to say, Andrew, just let it sink in. Let it go. You know, if you memorize things and you come against challenges in your life and the Word comes back to your mind in the middle of that challenge, it'll work its way from here into here. And when it gets here, man, it's life-changing. We got time for like three sermons here today. I'm getting close. I got another one ready to go talking about the inside of us. And when that stuff gets inside, it changes everything. Step one is change your belief. Step two, change your view. As your beliefs change, your view on life will change. God loves me. God has good things in store for me. I'm memorizing scripture. I'm learning scripture. And then the world changes. Like, wow, these things I'm going through, these can be opportunities. God wants to use me in His kingdom. God wants to bless me like He did Abraham so I can bless others. Hallelujah. That's a great place to be. And then when you think about scriptures that talk about preferring others other than yourselves, I learned that as a kid, preferring others. But I thought that meant, you know, put myself down, think bad things of myself, give the things that might be important to me to others to promote them and not think about my own health, my own life. When I realized that I love serving others, I love preferring others. When my life is full of what He has for me because I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus and I'm overflowing, I have so much to give. If you want more love, what do you do with the love you have? You give it, and it keeps coming back, and you keep giving, and you give. And you give, and God rewards us. God uses those things to bless you and continue to bless others. Step one, change your belief. Step two, change your view. Step three, walk it out. I could say, work it out. It's work. It's one step at a time. One step at a time. When I was teaching the kids, we were talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. When we're teaching and when we're teaching kids and breaking things down for kids, sometimes we're learning at the same time. Oh, okay. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As I'm teaching those kids and we're talking about, you know, who are you patient with? You're patient with people who test your patience. It's easy to be patient with some people, but other people, They bother us sometimes. We would talk about siblings, okay? Or sometimes parents. We need to love our parents. So, you know, rest assured, I was teaching the kids to love their parents, pray for their parents, obey their parents. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult to pray for others, to be patient, to be loving. But you know what the good thing is? The fruit of the Spirit is in us. It's in us. That I don't have enough patience for that person. Oh, Lord, you give me patience for that person. Okay, thank you, Lord. And I'd be patient and loving, and I'd be like, where did that come from? That came from the fruit of the Spirit, which is already inside of me. Yeah, but it takes work. It's not always easy. But I'll let the Lord lead me. I'll let the Lord work it out in my life. And then as that happens, it continues to build my own character. Step one, change your belief. Step two, change your view. Step three, walk it out. Step four, repeat the three above steps. Okay, so I was working on patience this week and maybe a little bit of goodness. And then next week, now God's working on long-suffering. Okay, there's a reason that's the last one of the fruits of the Spirit. That one is very difficult for me, but long-suffering, patience, you know, just, yeah. God has good things as we see, as we put this stuff into practice and we let God work in us, grow us. We let those selfish feelings, those selfish thoughts die. Those are a part of our old nature. It's work. But let me tell you, it is a beautiful thing. Now, I've been saying a lot of grace-filled things, and I honestly struggled with this. Some of you may be uncomfortable with grace and mercy. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. Now, when I make mistakes, you know, there's people involved, and I may have to make things right with those people, but God sees me as righteous. I may have to pay certain dues for wrong things I've done, but God's mercy has already paid for those things. I don't have to pay for them in a spiritual sense. God's grace gives me things I don't deserve. And I'm talking about God wanting to bless you. And I was like, well, what about all the stuff I've done? Like, I have to do more. Well, I'm going to tell you, and I'm telling you how wonderful God sees me in God's eyes because of what he has done. And I'm talking about how wonderful you are in God's eyes because of what he has done. But does that let us off the hook? God wants all these wonderful things for us? It does let us off the hook. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, Andrew, so that no one can boast. Thank you, Jesus. My salvation is not dependent on my works. I don't have to make God love me. I don't have to worry about all the things that I have done wrong to make myself right in God's eyes and make him love me more. I can let all of that go. This is a free gift. And believe me, God will let me know about things that I need to work on. But it's a beautiful thing. I may need to ask for forgiveness. I may need to work on character things in my life. I should show fruit, right? You should be able to see in me good things. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Oh, there's works. I got to live according to God's word. There it is. Okay? Gotta fix my life. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is what I believe is where the fruit is. It isn't because of the things that I have to do. I love God. I seek God. I seek God with all my heart. I want to live for him. Don't let me stray from your commands. God, my heart is to serve you. My heart is to love you. I believe your heart is to love me. And as I understand that and grow in that, I want to follow God's commands. I want to do the right thing, not because I'm earning anything, but because I'm overflowing with what he's already done for me. Wow. Forgiving people that are mean to me is a good thing. I don't have to make them understand how badly they hurt me. I can just forgive them. I love you. We may not hang out and be best friends because you're kind of mean, but I'm not going to hold it against you. Okay? Now it depends on who we're talking about, right? Like, I can't say that to my wife. Like, you know, I she's not mean, by the way, of course. But if she inadvertently hurts me, I can forgive her. I can love her. She's coming from a different perspective than I'm coming from. It's probably more the other way around. Man, how many times have you forgiven me? Whew. Okay, let's talk about it later. We live our lives. We grow together. We love each other. We forgive each other. We live counterculture. Okay, we don't demand our rights. I remember talking to Steve as I was on staff here. Steve, it's not fair what people have done to me. Where do my rights come in? And Steve said, Andrew, remember Jesus on the cross. He was crucified by his own people, by the people that were supposed to love, the religious leaders. They killed him on the cross. What did he say? What could he have done? He could have called down fire from heaven. That might have been my first tendency. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, fine. I won't demand my own rights. Now, there are boundaries. We need to protect ourselves and protect our families. I believe in that. But we can't keep track of what people are doing to us in the negative. This is going a little bit beyond what I wrote. Sarah read what I wrote. Okay, sorry, hon. When we first got married, I was keeping track. Okay? If Sarah did some nice things, I would make sure to do some nice things. And if she didn't do as many nice things as I wanted, then she didn't deserve any nice things from me. Okay? Part of it was our love language and understanding each other. But then I realized, this is dumb. This is stupid. Like, you can't measure love. You can't say, this is exactly a measure of love. Like, you know, I was like, if I get a half a cup from her, then I owe her a half a cup. But we love with our hearts. We love openly. And when we can continue to love generously, you know, fully with our hearts, it's a beautiful thing. We're not keeping track. God loves us unconditionally. We don't deserve it, but we're thankful for it. As he continues to pour into us, we will want to pour into others and live a godly Christian life. And God's promises are when we live that way, we will be blessed to a greater measure. And let that encourage you to do the same as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Did I read that first verse? Oh my goodness. I skipped the first verse. Sorry, people in the projection booth. Oh man, now I gotta look that up. Can you put the first verse up there that I was supposed to read? I was a failure. Okay. Hebrews 12:2. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on him. He endured the cross with joy, the joy set before him. Jesus knew about the victory that was ahead of what he had to do. He went to the cross for our sake. He knew that that would set us free. Hallelujah. I want to follow Jesus in my actions. I trust him because I know he loves me. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm a work in progress, and Jesus sees the result. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for what you have in store for us. Lord, we give our lives to you completely. We don't know what the future holds. We trust you to work out every little detail, Lord, and we just lay our lives before you. We thank you that you have good things in store. We look forward to what you have in store for us this week. There may be challenges. We're going to turn those stumbling blocks into stepping stones with your help. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some good lunch prepared for you. Come on up here after the service if you would like some prayer. You can be dismissed, and we'll talk to you again soon.